I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Todd Hancock joins me now. His program, the Toddcast Podcast, has been up and running since January and is quickly getting quite the following. Visit toddhancock.ca to listen to the weekly podcast each week. He talks to three different people in three different segments. Interspersed is a lot of music. I'll ask him about the selections. There are three great conversations he has with each of his guests. One is usually from the music field. Someone else will talk sport. And then someone else will discuss entertainment and lifestyle issues. Todd Hancock is a graduate of BCIT, and in the nearly 20 years since, has been an on-air personality in Smithers, Prince George, and Victoria before taking up at 99.3 The Fox here in Vancouver, where until 2014 he hosted their afternoon program for over a decade. He won multiple awards for his radio work. It'll be fun talking to Todd about his work in radio, this new podcast, and more. You can download the podcast off of his site or off of iTunes. Also, check out soundcloud.com/ToddCastPodcast. Please welcome to the Plant Online program in studio, as it were, Todd Hancock. Mr. Hancock, good morning.
Wow, fantastic. Thank you for the introduction.
I'm out of breath, so you'll have...
That's amazing. it has been 20 years, hasn't it?
Yeah, so you graduated, I looked this up, in 1996.
96, right? Yeah. And from there, I went to Smithers for about three and a half months. And then the evening show came open at... CIRX, the Max FM 94 up in Prince George. So, of course, I applied for that, and a bit of groveling, a bit of help from my close circle of broadcasting friends, namely Bob Mills and Jeff O'Neill, who does the morning show currently at CFOX.
Right.
Let's go back real quick. So, second day of school, BCIT. I befriend Jeff O'Neill. I call him up, hey, man, I want to hear some Metallica. I want to hear Ride the Lightning. Oh, yeah, we don't play that. We can play Enter Sandman or Sabbath True or something off the Black Record. You know, that only came out in 91 or whatever, so it was only a couple years old. Let's play the new stuff from Metallica. Oh, if you can't play that, you're not Vancouver's real rock. You're Vancouver's real suck. And O'Neill starts laughing. He's like, you know, what do you do, kid, kind of thing. And I was like, well, I'm here to take your job. I'm at BCIT. And he's like, dude, why don't you come down one of these days? I'm like, how about tonight?
Yeah.
Well, he's like, okay, cool. Well, why don't you, you know, I normally tell my people to come down to bring Bud or Bud. And he's like, oh, no, I hear you loud and clear. So go down to the station, hang out with them, played video games, drank some beers, smoked some joints afterwards, talked radio and just music and kind of just geeked out and hung out. And, you know, long story short, got way too drunk to drive, so I crashed at O'Neill's place the next morning. He goes, dude, if you ever want to come back and produce my show anytime, you have full access. And I'm like, cool.
Really?
So the next day after school, I called him, like, hey, man, I'm going to come down tonight. He's like, no problem. He goes, hey, college boy. I'm like, yeah. He goes, yeah, you don't have to ask me. Just come down and show up, right? Huh. So I produced O'Neill's show for his evening show for the full 2 years of BCIT.
That's a pretty good experience.
So huge experience. And, of course, that comes back to where I was saying, let's start at the beginning. Bob Mills and Jeff O'Neill called not only Smithers to say, hey, you should hire this kid from BCIT. So I got my first job at Smithers through a referral from them. Plus, of course, you know, I a decent tape, and I had a really, gumption. I've always been a self-motivated person, not just radio, just in everything. I'm very competitive, but at the same time, I'm okay if I lose, but I'm very competitive, right? And I always have been in all regards. So I get this job in Prince George, and from there, it's the evening show. I did that for about a year at the rock station, and then the country station on the AM dial were like, hey, why don't you come over to us? We'll give you a little bit more money, and you can do the afternoon show. I was like, okay, well, let me think about it. And so I call all my mentors and gurus again, and Ross Winters and, Bob Harris and so many guys. You know, there's just been a plethora of people that have been super supportive of my career over the years. Of course, I got to know, as I'm at CFOX at the start, Larry and Willie were doing the morning show, so I got to know them. I opped their show a couple of times. Bill Courage, who is one of the voice guys for the Toddcast podcast, by the way.
The guy that we hear at the beginning, right?
Yeah. He's one of the guys, because there's two guys. The other guy is David Kay for the podcast. And if you know anything about David Kay, he's a monster in the voiceover world.
We've heard him for years in this market, right?
Of course. In this market, he was CFOX's voiceover guy for years and years and years. He is currently the voiceover for LG 104.3. He's also Megatron. of the Transformers, which I thought was is pretty cool. Ratchet and Clank, he's a voice of that. I believe he's the narrator of the Wizard on ABC or NBC or whatever that is.
And yeah.
Anyway, so there's been a lot of people that have been super supportive. So long story short, I go to Prince George evenings for a year, afternoons for 3.5 years, and then the Fox calls, hey, you want to come and do the overnights, weekend afternoons, and a one Monday night. It's like, wow, that's all over the map. That's a crazy schedule. But I need to get to Vancouver, so okay, cool, I'll take it. So I was doing the afternoons from noon till 6, Saturday and Sunday, Monday night 7 to midnight, and then overnights Wednesday and Thursday from midnight till 6 in the morning.
Wow.
Which was crazy. Like, that schedule was exhausting.
But it fulfilled, I guess, this need.
To get back to the station.
And this love that you have for radio, I mean, that must go back to when you were a kid, does it?
Yeah, I guess.
So you've
I've always liked radio. Yeah. Like, I think that what it is that, of course, you know, back in when I was a kid, like in the late 70s, early 80s, you know, of course there was no internet. There was nothing but that. It was like, you know, you get in the car and you turn on the radio and you drive from Surrey into Stanley Park or you go see a hockey game or whatever. And it was just such a key thing for the childhood, right?
Yeah.
For the people that are growing up in the late 70s, early 80s. It's a huge part. It's a huge part of your world, right?
You've mentioned some people already that you've gotten to know over the years, but growing up, were there people that you, say, wanted to emulate?
No, there was, that's the thing. It's not like I listened to the radio and was like, that's really cool, I got to get into radio. It wasn't that at all. In fact, I only got into radio because my friends were kind of like, dude, you've got a really good voice, you tell good stories, you know music, like, better than anybody else that I know. Like I'm, Joseph, put it this way, I'm that friend, if you know me personally and hang with me, if you're on one of those music shows, Music Jeopardy or whatever, I need to call a friend, I'm that friend for, like, all of my circle of friends, because that's, you know, I didn't get into radio to be famous or what have you, or wealth or meeting cool people and all that. I got into because I'm a music fan. That's it. Yeah. Like,
and all those other things come with it.
Those are great offshoots. Like, I've had some super, super memorable moments of radio that couldn't even possibly put a price tag on.
And for you, when you got fired from CFOX just under a year ago.
Yeah.
There was no question into going into another line of work, that you wanted to stay in broadcasting.
Yeah, because it's a comfy shoe. Broadcasting radio, like, I would get back into broadcasting radio, but the thing for me is that I had a decent severance being fired in mid-June. I was getting paid my same rate of pay into the new year.
Yeah.
So I had the luxury of not having to really find work, which I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't reach out for like a month after being let go to anybody in the industry. And when I finally did, I just said, like, you know, if it's a good job, mornings or afternoon drive, that's it. That's the only jobs I'll pretty much go back to radio for.
Yeah.
Of course, I'll go back for the right job to work with the right people. If it's an evening show or a midday show or what have you, like, I'm not like, I will only do drives.
Yeah.
Like, I'll go back to radio if it's the right circumstance. Right out of the gate, I just had that luxury of time and money on my side. I made a home studio. I started making voiceover demos, sending them around to different agencies. I got signed to Kirk Talent Agency here in the city. So I've been focused a little bit on voiceover work, which, by the way, I got all the equipment from Bro Jake, who does the morning show on TSN Radio here in Vancouver. I've known Jake for a long time. He used to do, of course, Rock 101. I heard that he'd sold his place in Tawasin, and I knew that there was a studio there, so got a hold of him. I'm like, hey, are you doing anything with that gear? He's like, dude, your timing's impeccable. Like, it's collecting dust.
Yeah.
I'll go, okay, cool. Well, sell it to me, right?
Yeah.
And he goes, okay, yeah, for sure. I'm like, hey, is it Finney that does all the... He's like, yep, he's the one who did my studios. I'm like, okay, cool. So a mutual friend of ours, Jerry Finney, he came over from the island. He now lives on Salt Spring. But so I said, well, come over and help me hook this up, man. So we hooked it up and over the weekend, just kind of hang out and had a few beers, had some pizza, made this home studio, right?
So it's in your basement.
So now it's in a bedroom converted over to a studio, yeah. I got the full dampeners up on the walls and... like just monster monitors. Like it's the loudest system I've ever had in my life.
It's nothing like this.
Like I could straight up, this could be a really, like you could dial this room up. This is a pretty impressive room that you're doing this podcast from, man. Don't kid yourself.
It's a mess. That's what it is.
Well, you've got a lot of, it just looks lived in is what it is. But no, this room, dude, is deadly, man.
My excuse is I know where everything is, so it's fine.
You know? Of course. You know? Organized chaos. Don't we all live like that?
I think we do, but we kid ourselves, you know. So how did this podcast come about? It seems like the right time to do something like this.
Well, I mean, the future of consumption of entertainment, music, all that kind of stuff is just it's social media. We're just so inundated with all that stuff, and it's just taking over. Podcasting is the future of broadcasting.
Did you notice that, by the way, in the sort of 15 years that you were at CFOX? I mean, audiences change, obviously, year to year.
Yeah.
But the sort of way that they were listening to radio or listening to your show, did you notice anything like that?
No.
So people were still listening to, I mean, radio stations nowadays like to do podcasts a lot.
Yeah, I felt that, I never felt that, boy, I'm talking to myself. Yeah. Like, I never thought that. Especially if you throw out compelling content and you're asking people to talk about issues or what have you. Especially if you're being actively engaging on your social media platforms as well, which, of course, I was, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wasn't just, like, talking about things on the radio. I'd be like, hey, don't forget, tune me in at 99.3 The Fox, because I'm talking on this would be on Facebook, because I'm talking about this. Hit me up with your thoughts here, and I'd answer back and forth on Facebook and on Twitter and stuff as well. But so I was like, yeah, you really got to hit it. It really changed in that regard for me over those 15 years. It went from, you know, when I first was there was no, I don't even think CFOX had a website. And if they did, it was super, super, like, plain, just, very plain.
But I never listened to CFOX because it's not my kind of music. But, I mean, I certainly knew of your work because of social media.
Right.
People would retweet things or forward share things on Facebook, the things that you posted.
Yeah, I find that the more that you're engaging as well, the more they share, right? And right now, for me, like, it's just so much stuff to get to, because with three guests a week, I like to pre-promo everybody and bust up, like, a bunch of different audio promos and video. I have a video team now as well, and I get video content. So every week it's like, oh, three new guests, mm-hmm. three new guests, right? And then, of course, I also want to be like, don't forget, you know, last week we had this guest on. 2 weeks back we had this guest. You can't just, like... You can't just leave out, like, oh, cool, pre-promo lights.
Yeah.
She's on 2 weeks from now. She's on next week. She's on this week. She's on last week. She was on, don't forget, a couple of weeks back. And then that's it. And then it's gone. Like, you'll never hear that again. Yeah. No, like, in a, you know, thank God for Hootsuite and, you know, being able to schedule things on Facebook and et cetera, yeah. right? So you do that and you, like, it's such a vicious cycle, broadcasting, when you really dig into what you need to do in order to make it so that people are aware of what you're up to,
and
it's massive. Without the parent company for me, which of course was CFOX, that was easy.
Yeah,
throw it out on CFOX's, you know,
airwaves,
and boom, it's gone. People are hearing it. They're seeing it so much more on Facebook, so much more on Twitter. But yeah, when you're just a lone guy like me now, which I am, like, it's just a ton of work. But I also, the cool thing about it, Joseph, of course, is the guests that are coming on, whether it is, you know, like I said, a Lights or a Theory of a Dead Man, Headley, the Trues, right, for music.
Yeah.
And then from sports, it's everything from, you know, the president of the Vancouver Whitecaps to hockey players to football players, you know. So Aluminium is an upcoming guest. And I've had the kicker, Paul McCallum from the BC Lions. And, you know, Vancouver Stealth, I've had the play-by-play guy. I've had Tyler Garrison. So local sports. I try to keep it local as well, as much as I can. Jay Durant, you know, the guys from TSN Radio, Scott Rintoul, Matt Sakaris. And then entertainment is everything all over the map, right? But all these guests, my point is, all these guests, of course, when I tweet, hey, you know, Matt Sakaris of TSN Radio, you're on the podcast this week, boom, he retweets it. Now, suddenly I'm in front of all these people that didn't even know who I am, right?
Yeah.
So it's huge. It, social media is, like, just taking over for advertising, I believe.
You have sponsors on the podcast.
Yeah.
And so we'll talk about money now.
Yeah.
to be vulgar for a sec.
Yeah.
Is it a viable way to make a living for you? Or is it?
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess, yeah. Yeah, yeah, it is. It's and just a matter of finding that, like, just like radio, podcasts are going to, they're going to run into, you know, sponsors not continuing to sponsor anymore, yeah. Right? Like, for me, right out of the gate, I had the Hard Rock Casino Vancouver, right?
Yeah.
Fully expecting them to sign back on, but, you know, mid-month of January, February, March, mid-March, you know, they were like, yeah, we're not going to be able to jump on for this quarter. Things are a little bit tight right now. Gaming in the BC gaming industry was down year-to-year 16%. It's like, holy crap, that's a pretty substantial drop.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand, but that also means that I don't, they're like, you know, we might be able to jump back on for the third quarter, which is July. Like, okay, well, so now suddenly I'm losing all of that income that was coming in, right? So that's the problem. But yeah, man, it's definitely viable. It's just a matter of how much hustle do you have, how much, and how much, you know, for me, like, I had 29 million page reach and mention for my Twitter account for Q1 of 2015. So for me to approach a company and go, like, hey, 29 million people saw my tweets in the first quarter of the year. Do you want to be part of that, right? Here's all my numbers for Facebook. Here's my numbers for my SoundCloud and my podcast. Like, my podcast, the podcast and promos get anywhere between about 150 to 200 plays a day.
Hmm.
And then it kind of fluctuates depending on if, you know, bands are retweeting and stuff. Like, the other day, Marianas Trench, Josh Ramsey, singer for the band, been a friend a long time. He just said, hey, thanks for having me on your show or whatever, and tweeted the link to the podcast. And boom, that day, I think we got like about 900 plays or something like that, right? So it really is dependent on the guests and stuff retweeting, but generally I'm getting about a couple hundred plays a day.
But having to think about, say, how many people are listening, just thinking about how many retweets you get, or just the advertising paperwork and things like that, I mean, does that take away from the actual broadcasting itself for you?
No.
No.
No, the cool thing about podcasting in comparison to radio is that radio, you know, you're doing a show and you have to be on at those times. Like Fox, 3 to 7, Todd, go kick some ass. Okay, cool. You know, 2 o'clock, I find some shitty information, or I'm just down in the dumps, I'm not feeling well, whatever. Now I got to pretend that I'm on and popping at 3 o'clock, right? Podcasting, I don't generally do my podcast work and the interviews and all that. Like, sometimes I'll schedule interviews in the afternoon, but not very often. I do all the bulk in the evening, and then I just kind of work whenever I feel creative, I guess.
Yeah.
Long story short.
Yeah, it's a more healthy way of pursuing one's work, isn't it?
Yeah, because especially you, it's like, you know, to be like, okay, you know, be creative, do something cool right now. Like, think something, like, think of something, write something down that's people are going to be engaged in, right? So that's the neat thing about podcasting, is you can kind of work at your own speed and not be set to a schedule.
And the music that you play, I mean, some of it is you're promoting certain people and certain bands, but the music that you're playing is music that say you like, is it?
Oh, yeah. All I'm not going to play anything I don't like.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just all local bands generally.
It's like, a great variety, I must say, because you had, you know, there's the obvious rock stuff that you usually play, but then there's country things that, you know, people that I never heard of.
It's actually metal bands.
Yeah, pretty good, actually.
Yeah. I try to, I just try to cross, because I think that that's one of the things that radio kind of doesn't do well anymore is challenge their listener, you know, like, challenge what's expected of a station, right?
Yeah.
Like, and it's not just a rock station, it's even, a news station. Like, don't always do the same style, because, you know, when you become predictable, that's where the problems are going to start coming, I think. So, for me, you know, of course, people expect me to be, you're the Fox guy. You must love rock. Yeah. Hell yeah. That's my go-to. That's my go-to punch. You know, I love rock. Hell yeah. From the Beatles and Zeppelin and Sabbath on, I love rock. But I also love country music.
Yeah.
I also love a really good pop song. So for me, having the ability to, you know, give props to local bands, I'm going to take it, right? Like, cause most of my friends, when I initially said I was going to do indie music, they're like, why don't you do major labels? So, you know, if you have a Theory of a Dead Man, you can play a Theory of a Dead Man song, right? So I went down that road, and it was a bit of a runaround, to be completely honest, with the labels to get the master rights, and they wanted way too much in terms of compensation. Like, I literally would have been paying them money to use it. Even with money coming in the door, I wouldn't have made money.
Yeah.
And I was making a lot of money at the launch of the podcast. So I didn't. I said, well, okay, whatever. I just gave up on the majors. But then eventually, through the conversations we had with the Hard Rock Casino, that's where we're like, yeah, let's do the indie. It makes sense anyway. People associate me, because I was the indie music director at Seafox as well, right? So people associated me with the scene anyway. I have a band management company as well called He Shoots, He Scores Entertainment with Dave Brenner, again, from Theory of a Dead Man. So I've been a part of the scene beyond radio, for, you know, way deeper than radio goes, you know, with booking shows and managing bands and booking cross-Canada tours for them and, you know, setting up showcases and the works. So for me, it's just a kind of a no-brainer to support the indie scene.
Yeah, we also get a sense from your podcast just how much talent there is in this country, in this market itself. I mean, you know, not just the musicians that you talk to, but say the comedians in this country, the news anchors too.
They're all amazing. Canada has just been, I mean, it's not a secret. We've been pumping out just talented people in the entertainment industry for years, you know?
In terms of the broadcasting, because this has always fascinated me when I have people in your business on, I'm always interested to know just how important the host, the jock, the personality is to the experience of listening to music for the listener.
Wow, interesting. Yeah, I think it's huge.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, because you could have one style of DJ, and if you don't like that style, you won't probably listen to the station. Do you know what I mean? I think that I think that's a huge part of it.
And then, I mean, some of the veterans that I talked to.
Who have you talked to, by the way? You mentioned you had Drex through.
Yeah, Drex was on.
Of course, he and I worked together at Seafox.
Yeah, Doc Harris.
Great guy.
Yeah, Doc Harris. He was on here. Yeah, but I mean, I remember talking to Doc about this. I mean, he remembers certain songs. And who he listened to, and then not just the memory of, say, listening to Elvis or whatever, but who spun that record that day, and I mean that stays with you. I mean, in your experience, that must happen too.
I guess. Yeah, I'd have to really think about that. But yeah, I mean, I guess I would probably associate some songs with certainly guys from Seafox.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing. I wasn't really like a huge into radio. Like when I was a younger kid, like it was always there, but I was never like, oh, I'm gonna be a DJ. I never ever really thought that. If anything, I thought that maybe I would have gotten into some sort of voice work, like I'm trying to get into now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really like that. I like that side of it, being a character and you know, using your voice as an instrument, I guess.
So how did you know that you were good at say, working the microphone? I mean, did people tell you that, or did you say, I mean, you said that people told you that you should go into it because you've got a pretty good voice. Or did you say, yeah, no, I am good at this, I'm going to pursue this?
Well, I just, I looked into BCIT, I looked into the course, and found out, of course, what first off I need, okay, what are the prerequisites? Holy shit, I need to have typing, really? Typing? Okay, so I had to go back to school, I talked to this is when I was, I don't know, 19, I guess? Something like that? Talked to the principal, same principal, I'm like, hey, look, I need to come back to get my typing, okay, cool, so I'm actually sitting in a typing class with these 16, 17-year-old kids, learning how to type so I could have the prerequisite to go to BCIT and talk to a bunch of different radio stations in the Okanagan. That's where I was living in Summerland at the time before coming down for the class. And yeah, so I talked to, I don't know, maybe 10 radio stations to kind of get their thoughts on the future of radio, what they thought about broadcasting as a career. And, you know, I would think maybe two or three stations of those 10 were positive, and the other were just, oh, it's such a dying industry, it's a dinosaur, it's a, you know, it's on its last leg, blah, blah, blah. Which still, like 20 years later, I still don't believe that. I still don't believe that public radio...
People still say that, though, don't they?
Of course they do.
Yeah.
They're always going to say it because there's always naysayers, there's always trolls, there's always people that, you know, want to push buttons and... be whatever. So I just don't think that public radio will ever, like, ever go. Unless of course, you know, like, it gets to the point of, like, car dealer or car makers just eliminating radio from cars. But otherwise, like, what's going on with the Vancouver Canucks? Okay, cool. What's going on with the local Hills? Oh, no way. The Hills are going to give you a rebate if you had a ski pass, blah, blah, blah. You don't get that if you're just listening to Sirius XM. You don't get that if you're listening to satellite radio. And
yeah.
You're asking if the personality plays much into that. Like, that's, like, the host is a huge part of that because some hosts don't talk about local stuff. Like, and that's going to be hard to keep a local ear listening to your radio station.
You know
what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, hey, I found something today that happened at El Paso, Texas, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, or even...
Like, well, who cares? Yeah, like, yeah. What does that matter to a Vancouverite?
Yeah, or...
It just doesn't matter.
Yeah, you know, if it's photo radar or not.
Unless,
we don't have photo radar anymore, but, yeah. You know, there's a speed trap or something.
Right, unless they're taking that El Paso, Texas story and giving it a local spin.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter to a Vancouverite. So, yeah, it's a huge... The host plays a huge part.
So Doc Harris said that, because that voice is unique, his voice is unique, that his siblings all have the same voice.
Really?
So I'm assuming, in his case, everyone, you're born with that sort of, those talents. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, for me, I can listen back to, like, tapes from the first year or two of BCIT, and I can totally hear a difference.
Hmm.
I think the more that you use your voice, it's like anything, right? It's like a muscle, right? I think that it's just with time, your voice changes. Even if you're not in radio, your voice changes.
Yeah.
Just how much screaming and yelling you do.
Drinking and smoking and all that.
Drinking and smoking, et cetera, yeah.
Two your years at the Fox, because that's how a lot of people know you.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, yeah. Okay, so I got to the Fox, like I said, back to the story of jumping from Prince George to the Fox, and I'm doing the overnights, I'm doing the weekend afternoons, and the Monday night. The reason I'm doing the Monday night is because, at the time, David Hawks, who is now booking the Imperial, and he's I think more than that, but anyway, I know for sure the Imperial. But Dave's a great guy, super talented, gets music, very supportive of the indie scene as well. He wanted to do his show from a club. I can't remember which club it is now, blanking on the name. But he wanted to do his show from a club on the Saturday night. So he did Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday at the Fox, 7 to midnight or whatever. And then Saturday, 7 to midnight at this club. So then that was that Monday night, 7 to midnight. So there was a really cool opportunity to do an evening show for C-Fox. But I did that shift, which was all over the map, for about a year and a half, year and 8 months. And then I got offered a job in Victoria at Extreme 107, which is like a modern rock station. Mm-hmm. And let's see if I can turn this into a long story short. It's my ex-fiance doing the co-hosting at the station in Victoria. So, of course, I again talked to all my mentors. Should I take the job? They're like, dude, it's mornings in Victoria. If it wasn't for your ex, like, that's a really crazy, sticky situation. Like, we'd be kicking you out the door, right?
Yeah.
But I'm going to plead a no comment on whether you should take that job. Literally, that's what all of my mentors were saying. So I take the job. And by the way, the ex is from Prince George. Her name is Tiffany Houle. She's an amazing broadcaster. But so we get engaged in living in Prince George together, but then she gets the job in
Victoria
at Extreme. So a couple of years after she'd taken the job, we hadn't, I wasn't able to get to Victoria or to Vancouver. So we kind of broke up. Eventually, I, of course, got to Vancouver, but now I'm here for 2 years. Now we've been separated or broken up for 4 years, so there's no chance of, you know, getting back together and whatever. And it wasn't a messy breakup at all. What I was kind of just like, well, it's long distance, it sucks, breaking my heart, right? Whatever. So, okay, I take the job, and I would say within 2-3 months, I was like, why did I take this job?
Did it sound like that on the air, though?
It was fun. It was fun on the air. Like, yeah. The first promo that they did was Battle of the X's. And, of course, people were like, there's no way you guys are really exes. We're like, no, for sure. Believe us, there's going to be stories going to be told that you don't want out, right? And that's kind of what happened eventually. You know, she would say something to make me look bad. Well, I know about shit she did too, right?
Yeah,
so,
you
know, after that commercial break, hey, here's what Tiffany did then, you know? So it kind of got a little bit awkward, but she's really cool. Like, I don't regret going there at all. But maybe about like 9 months into that, so yeah, within a year of leaving Fox, I was back again. But they'd called and they're like, "Hey, we want you to do the evening show, and we're going to start up a show called The Rock Report, and we're going to cross you over with Jeff O'Neill in the afternoons. You and Jeff will do a show together, music news based, interviews, acoustic performances. We'll maybe get the show and we'll whatever fly to a location somewhere around the world, bring some listeners, whatever."
Yeah.
Cool ideas and all that, right? And of course, they executed them all. Like, one of the coolest shows I ever worked on for sure was The Rock Report. It's an hour long, but like, sometimes I like that better than I like the actual 3 hours of the afternoon show where I was kind of doing whatever I liked, right?
Yeah, I remember hearing about that. And,
yeah,
and
great show, man. Like,
a lot of people listened to that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was big. It was a good show. Yeah, eventually, I think maybe about 7 years into it, 6-7 years into it, they, because I was doing the afternoons with Karen Kay, who does the mornings with Jeff O'Neill now, right?
Yeah.
She and I did the afternoons for about 8 years, 8.5 years together. So the Fox said, look, we think that we'll get a little bit better ratings if we just switch it over from 3 to 6, you and Karen, to 3 to 7, you and Karen, and you can just throw the music news you'd normally put in the Rock Report, just put it in 3 to 7,
yeah,
kind of pepper it in the show, which is a great idea. It's fine, it's a good idea on its own, but, you know, like, we were saying, well, man, I think it's just 6 o'clock and like people are at home and they're, you know, starting to make dinner and they're drawing baths for their kids, and you know what I mean, like, they're not necessarily listening to radio per se, but it's on in the background or whatever, but less and less, it's starting to taper out. Okay, well, yeah, let's just try the Todd and Karen. Okay, cool. And that never did. Nothing changed. Nothing changed in the ratings, you know. So it's unfortunate that they stopped that show, because, you know, I think that there's a want for that style of show.
Yeah. Because
it's not it's not generally, and it's kind of what I do for the podcast a little bit too, you know, like it's not often that you get that music news style of a show. So, yeah, it's unfortunate, but.
So when the axe swung just under a year ago, was it unexpected for you?
Dude, yeah, completely unexpected. Yeah, but like if I was to put it in percentages, I wouldn't even put it at a percent that I would have got fired.
So, I mean, the parent company is known for these sort of purges from time to time.
Yeah, 60-some people got fired from Chorus that day. I think there was only maybe 6 or 7 from the Vancouver cluster. But, yeah, man, that's huge. Those are huge, huge days, right? Like, you just duck your head and hope for the best. Like, I survived over those 14 years.
Yeah.
Probably 3 or 4 at least. Seen a lot of friends get fired.
Yeah. So, I mean,
but that's the industry, right? I was super lucky, right? I don't want to sound like a naysayer of the industry at all. Like, I was just super lucky to, you know, of course, talent is there as well, and drive and determination and good guests and everything else, but and good promotions on CFOX's part. But I'm just lucky to have had that position for as long as I have.
It speaks to the volatile nature of the business.
Totally, man.
Yeah, and I mean, that's why probably I never decided to go into it, because it's just, I don't think I'd have the stomach to have to reinvent myself every 5-6 years.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right? Just got to, for me, just kind of, I'm debating whether I want to just continue with just podcasting, or if I want to get back into it, and I don't want to sound jaded at all, right? Because I'm just not, but it's tough to watch your friends get fired, and especially now that I'm on, now that I have been fired, because I've never been fired ever in my life. I look at radio a little bit differently now.
Did you encourage young people to get into the business?
Hell yeah, man, absolutely. Yeah. Like I said, I'd still get back into it. No doubt in my mind, I will be back in radio. It just is a matter of time for me.
The one thing that I've always admired about your work is when you're talking to artists, because artists can be very complicated people. I love that line in The New Yorker where they have the listings of who's playing at certain clubs. It says that please check with the proprietors to make sure that so-and-so is playing, because club proprietors and artists lead very complicated lives. So you have such a rapport with artists, and, you know, big names and not so big names as well. How do you build, say, the right atmosphere for a conversation with these people who sometimes don't want to talk to you?
That's an awesome question. And there is a way to do it, actually, especially if you know somebody. If you've already talked to them, easy, right? Just bring up right away, like, hey, remember that blah, 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 and you bring up something. Oh, yeah, you're that guy. That's a really good way of getting the rapport right out of the gate. And if you don't know somebody, hopefully the way that you've secured that interview is through somebody that can give you something that is unique about that person. And start off with that.
Yeah.
Start off with stuff that they don't normally get hit with. That's a really good question, man.
And so you've interviewed, say, you know, really big artists over the, yeah. So
I would say I probably no word of a lie into the thousands for sure.
Yeah, and so when you're talking to someone who's really famous, say, someone who's been interviewed, say, a dozen times that day already.
Right.
Is it something that you have to, I mean, did you go into an interview prepared? I mean, we all go into everything we do prepared, but I mean, do you know, like, this is question A, B, C, or do you have to sort of read them if they're sitting in front of you and you know, a little off maybe here?
Yeah. Yeah, I just listen to what they're saying.
Yeah.
You know, that's the starter question, how, you know, get the interview started.
Have you had disasters, though?
No, never.
No one, say, walk out or?
No.
Yeah.
No, I Serge Tankian from System of a Down. It was kind of just being aloof, you know. It was just kind of answering the questions in, you know, super open-ended questions. Not necessarily like what's the meaning of life, but open-ended enough that it demands like a 10-second, 20-second response minimum. And he'd yes, no, And finally, I, you know, a couple of minutes in, and literally, like, you know, I did have question A to A, B, C, D, all down, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm exhausted all these questions, but, you know, I'm at that point, like, I'm an interviewer where those seven questions, like, I could talk to you for, like, literally 2 hours if I wanted to, just by listening to what people are saying. Like, that's, I think that's one of the key things about being a really good interviewer, is that, first off, you're prepared. You know your subject. But also, you know yourself well enough to be able to give them breathing space to be able to give you the best answers that they can. And sometimes that means silence and listening to what people are saying and taking the road that they're traveling on, not like, thank you for that, here's the next question.
What I like doing is going to your SoundCloud and listening to, say, the extended conversations.
Right.
Because on the podcast, you cut them down to about 10 minutes, right?
And I was just actually, interesting you say that, I was just about to mention that,
yeah,
that sometimes on the 10 minutes, because I do 10 minutes with each guest, but sometimes I talk to these guests for like an hour, hour and a half,
yeah,
minimum of 20 minutes, half hour.
Yeah.
So sometimes on the 10 minutes, it can sound like it's like I am doing what I just said not to do, or it's like, what's this, what's, you know, what are you up to right now? And he gives me the 10, 20 second question. I'm like, okay, cool. And I could have took the interview another way. I probably did in the full conversation, but for the 10 minutes, I'm just trying to get it so it's just, you know, quick and concise and just hitting a lot of really key things of the conversation, right? So that takes a lot of time too in itself. Because I'm doing 3 of those a week, so I have to edit 3 full interviews a week, make all those promos. So that's a huge part of my everyday life right now.
It just seems like a lot of work.
It's,
you know,
so much work. It's an exhausting amount of work.
See, what I'll do with this, truly, is I'll just, you know, they'll put this up on the website. We won't cut it, you know.
Right.
So, but I mean,
right. But so for me, like if I was to edit this interview, I literally would go back and bump up all of the levels so that we're all on the same audio level. So when a listener is listening back, it's not like they lost out on that, because that kind of trailed off on that sentence or whatever. I would go back and bump up all the levels, make them all normalized. And then I'd find like little bits and pieces of audio, 10, 15, 20 second clips that were interesting. And then I'd make production beds and stuff, and I'd produce up little promos, like 4 or 5 of them per guest. It's a huge undertaking, because like for me, I didn't have very many guests on per se on, mm-hmm, on CFOX, maybe, you know, a couple, 2-3 a month, maybe 4 a month, maybe. So I'm, you know, quadrupling the workload, maybe more.
Yeah. But it seems like you're having fun talking to these people. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
and as I said earlier, they're very interesting people, aren't they?
You know? They're great. And that's the thing. Like, they like the music, mm-hmm, won't make the podcast if I don't want to talk to them. Like, I've had publicists and friends that have said, "Hey, can you talk to these guys?" Like, not really my thing, right? Like, mm-hmm, I could talk to them if you want me just to throw it up on my Twitter page or whatever, but they're not making the podcast. Like,
yeah,
it's just not. So. That's the cool thing is, of course, it's all 100% my content. Not that it was very often, but here and there, in radio, can you talk to these guys? It's a client's stroke or whatever, blah, blah, blah. You, of course, yeah, okay, cool. I'll hit that. It's going to be tough to make that sound interesting, but sure, I'll hit that, whatever. But with the podcast, it's kind of just whatever kind of floats my boat, which is cool. And then the interesting thing about the conversations on the podcast as opposed to radio is you can just kind of get so much more in-depth,
yeah,
and more train of thought conversation,
exactly,
than you could ever imagine to get on radio.
Yeah,
it's just almost impossible, right? With radio, there's always that internal clock, whether it's your internal clock or your programmer's internal clock, that's always been saying to you, like, hey, don't be more than 2-3 minutes with this guest, right? There's proven research that even Tom Cruise, you know, he was on Kevin and Bean in L.A. the other day, and they're monitoring through the PPM rating system that for the first 15 seconds it was amazing, for the first 30 seconds it was all right, for the first minute it was like as people were starting to drop off, by 2 minutes there was nobody listening, and it's fucking Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Sorry, can I?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, absolutely. Sorry. It's the internet.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
You talked a lot of in your career, in your life, having a lot of mentors in the broadcasting business.
Tons.
Do you play that role yourself now too?
Oh, of course. Other yeah. I mean, I'm very one of those guys. It's a very pay it forward guy. You know, of course, it would be pretty hypocritical of me to not reach out to these kids. I say kids, students at BCIT and what have you. Certainly when I was at CFOX, I probably had more students come through than most. And always would be like, you know, yeah, hey, here's my business card or here's my email, keep in touch and like shoot me a, you know, if you want to shoot me an air check or a demo or whatever, I'll let you know if it was good or what was bad and where to improve and, you know, all that. So yeah, I've definitely mentored over the years.
You also ask your guests on your podcast if they weren't in the current line of work that they're in, what they would do for you.
Oh, chef.
Really?
Yeah, definitely.
Did you cook now?
Oh yeah, I cook like probably 75-80% of the meals at my house. Yeah, I love cooking. I love cooking almost as much as I love the industry.
Yeah.
Something about radio, though. Something about, you know, telling stories and talking. I really do like it.
It's fun, isn't it?
I mean, it's good.
Like I do this, and you know, it's a good way to waste an hour or two in the afternoon, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. But cooking for me, I like cooking. If I wasn't in the broadcast industry, definitely would get into cooking. Yeah, something about it.
The other thing that you ask your guests is whether they prefer Star Wars or Star Trek. Yes. Now, see, I don't watch either of those and have no intention of...
right. Star Wars for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Star Wars for me was the first movie that I saw in a movie theater. Actually, here in at the Guilford Center or whatever it's called. So, yeah, that was that for me just kind of... Star Wars took over my life from 5 years old till 10 or 11, probably.
And even now? Like, I mean, you're excited about this new stuff?
Oh, yeah. I'm fully geeked out about it. Like, yeah. I didn't like what they did with the Jar Jar Binks and all the stuff after the original three, but I have a feeling that the one that they're about to release is going to be epic. Yeah. I'm super excited about it.
So at my age, I'm 33. Is this something that I can get into now at this late stage?
Hell yeah, man. Are you kidding me? Yes. Start watching from episode 4, 5, and 6. You want to watch A New Hope first. Yeah, man. Yeah, Star Wars is...
But it's funny, you know, you don't watch it. You don't watch it, but you realize how much a part it is of the vernacular of the culture.
Hell yeah. I mean, yeah. I think that you're certainly the one an anomaly. You're of the minority of the general population. I think it's like, whoa, really? You haven't seen Star Wars? You haven't seen Star Trek?
No.
Yeah, man, I think you should definitely check, at the very least, check it out. Like, you know, the characters are so iconic. Luke Skywalker.
And I already know what happens at the end, right? So.
Right, you know, so it's like, you know, it's amazing. I mean, there's a reason why it's been around for 40 years. It's a massive franchise and just groundbreaking for its time.
Have you got a favorite Sinatra song?
Favorite Sinatra song?
Yeah.
Wow, good question.
It's his 100th birthday, so I figured, you know, I might as well.
I know. What's yours?
I've got 5.
Okay.
Hit
me with the top 5.
If I had to pick one, it'd be Guess I'll Hang My Tears Out to Dry. And then Summer Wind.
Yeah.
I have it written down somewhere. you go blank, you know. Yeah, yeah. But those two, really. And I can't think of anything else. But, you know, certainly those two stand out for me. Moonlight in Vermont, his cover of that. I love that. I mean, Cycles.
That's a good song.
That's better than My Way.
Yeah, that, yeah.
I mean,
I might put My Way like that. How can it's just so, you know, it's just so big.
Have you seen that story? Have you seen
that
story?
That's a tough question.
Their country, in the Philippines, for example, men like singing that song at karaoke bars.
What? I did it my way.
Yeah, and then some men don't like those men singing it, and so they get into fistfights. And
come on.
It was in the New York Times a couple years ago that it's ended up in, like, there's been, like, murders because people think that that guy shouldn't have sung that song. That's, you know, he thinks that's his life. How dare he? So let's beat him up, and then they eventually kill the guy.
Yeah.
But I mean, this happens, you know, he hated My Way, Sinatra did. Yeah.
I think that most bands, if you talk to most bands, they're going to hate their big songs.
Yeah.
You know?
He hated Strangers in the Night, for example.
Really?
But he had to sing it every night because that's what people wanted.
It's a huge song.
Yeah.
What's your go-to if you were to karaoke?
Oh, geez. I don't know.
I always go like something ridiculously hard vocals, you know, like a Bon Jovi or a
scream?
Elton John or a... You know, really just tough vocals.
Yeah.
You
know, I don't know. I really...
To have fun, right?
I haven't done karaoke in ages, so it's I can't think of something off the top. I eventually go to Sinatra because that's what I know.
Yeah.
But other than that, no. Certainly nothing rock. This has been such fun for me.
Cool.
Because you're someone whose work I've admired over the years. And this podcast is great. And I think people should listen to it because it's a great hour that you do every week.
Yeah, it's been fun to, you know, it's been fun to put together for sure. I think it's just kind of going to get a little bit better and better as I go, right?
Yeah, it's frightening though, the amount of work, as you've told us, that you have to do.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's it's beyond what I thought, right? Yeah. Because it's not only the work for the podcast, but also all of my sponsors and everything as well, and finding sponsorship and just kind of keeping up with them and their promotions and everything that they'd like to be, you know, mentioned on, you know, in my marketing plans and all that. So yeah, it's huge. It's a massive undertaking, but I'm really enjoying myself.
It's a great listen. And
thank you.
And
a lot of really good guests. Like I've just got so many, fantastic guests that I've already talked to that are just, you know, basically I'm waiting to schedule them in, right? So, like, if I were to stop doing interviews today, and keeping in mind I have 3 guests a week, so 12 a month, I don't have to do another guest interview until, like, I could build podcasts until the end of September if I stopped interviewing today. So work that out. I've got, like, 40 or 50 interviews that I've already done in the can. Produced up a whole bunch of promos, and I've gotten everything ready, got my video team ready to make videos, doing all the promotions and everything. I've, like, you know, essentially there's me and one video guy doing, I don't even know how many people's work, four people's.
You're on your own station now, maybe, right?
Oh, totally is what it is, yeah. I mean, it's interesting because I remember I was saying earlier that the major labels, it was a bit of a rough ride to try to get the master rights from them. They were suggesting that why don't I start up an internet radio station. I was like, well, that's not what I pitched you guys. You know, like, I didn't pitch you that. I pitched you, I'm going to need like 3 or 4 songs a week. So I'm going to need like under 300 songs a year. Hit me with the, you know, the license to be able to play those songs and promote your artists. You know, I don't want to start up an internet station. Did I say that? Yeah, it was kind of frustrating.
Yeah.
I, in fact, to be honest, I'm quite embarrassed at where Canada sits in terms of podcasting and governing bodies and the rights to use music on podcasts. It's quite appalling.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming in. I so appreciate it, and we'll continue to listen, and I encourage other people to do so as well.
Beautiful, man. Well, thank you for the invite. ToddHancock.ca. Please come check me out.
Indeed. ToddHancock.ca is a website for more. The Toddcast podcast can be had there or on iTunes and, of course, soundcloud.com/ToddCast podcast. Todd Hancock joined me in studio here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plante.